Lord, we worship you
in the beauty of holiness.
Sing it, sister, sing it.
We worship,
Lord, we worship you,
Father of mercies.
Oh, worship
Lord
him.
Lord of all comfort.
Oh, worship him.
We worship,
Lord, we worship you,
the Father and Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ. We worship you,
Lord, we worship you.
By you all things are. We worship, we worship, we worship.
Lord, we worship you.
Oh,
as we bow.
As we bow.
As we bow, we bow, bow. Hallelujah. He's worthy.
And
in reverence.
To your majesty.
To your majesty. Let your anointing fall as we praise your name, Lord Jesus. Ha ha.
As the only name who saves, may the power of your salvation
fill his heart.
Fill his heart, we pray.
Lord,
we worship you. Lord, we worship you. King of Zion, we worship you. Lord, we worship you.
Father, it's such an honor and privilege to know you, the only true God. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. The maker of heaven and earth. The most high God. Lord, we worship you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your anointing that has come down. As we go into the word, we ask the same presence and anointing. Not only go with us, but increase. To bring out of the treasure of your word things new and old, that the eyes of the understanding of your people may be enlightened, that by faith and revelation, and faith and patience, they can take back everything the enemy has stolen in this hour of restoration. Oh Lord, anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should as an oracle of God. Let your word flow freely from you through me to the people. And let it do this great work, internal and eternal work in each and every heart, including mine. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We ask the Lord God's strength will be released from your throne. Power and anointing to break yokes, heal bodies, meet needs. And most importantly, cause men to become more consecrated and more dedicated to your purpose. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. You may be seated. I have a very important message this afternoon. It's a landmark instructional message. Not prophetic in the sense that it's not new. Neither is it something that's just going to be fulfilled. It's already being fulfilled. But it's instructional because the great glory of God that is imminent, that is just ahead of us. This message I'm going to be sharing with you will be the keys to accessing the kingdom. In fact, that's the title of the message, The Seven Keys of the Kingdom. For those who have been following my teachings and my ministry for some years, the keys of the kingdom are things you've heard. In fact, my first book, one of the first books I wrote was Keys of the Kingdom. I wrote it during my honeymoon, praise the Lord, believe it or not, during my 35 years ago, during our honeymoon in Monrovia, I wrote two books. I wrote Keys of the Kingdom and I wrote Walking the Spirit. Can you imagine writing that during your honeymoon? And we still had a nice honeymoon. So you can be spiritual and yet enjoy life. See, we've always thought that to be spiritual means to be a monk and go and live in a monastery somewhere. No, it's not my honeymoon. Yet, by the grace and the mercy of God, I yet not I, or the grace of God which was me, I wrote these two books, Keys of the Kingdom and Walking the Spirit. Not the most exciting topics in the world. But there we are. Now, let me give an introduction. Let's first of all talk about the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The word kingdom comes from two words, king and dominion. So when we talk about kingdom, we're talking about the dominion of God. Any environment in which God's dominion is enforced and enjoyed, in that locale, in that place, the kingdom of God is in operation. Wherever the dominion of God is enforced and thereby enjoyed. When God is in dominion, sickness is in retreat. It's dominated. When God is in dominion, poverty is dominated. And most importantly, when God is in dominion, sin is eradicated. Both in nature as well as in conduct. And if you understand the New Testament as you should, you will understand that that's what God is all about. Jesus himself, our Lord and Master, when he taught us to pray, he said, when you pray, first of all, worship God, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, what we've just done. Then the very first next thing that comes is, thy kingdom come. And thy will be done, not only when we get to heaven. Most people go, well, the kingdom of God. Most Christians have this very, you know, infantile. That's not an insult. It just means it's, you know, very childish. You know, idea that, you know, the kingdom of God is when we get to heaven. Then when we get to, you know, when I, you know, when I go to heaven, then I will enter the kingdom. It's an incomplete understanding. And a childish, myopic, that is short-sighted, you know, understanding of what God is saying. Yes, when you get to heaven, the kingdom of God will be there. But you don't enter the kingdom by going to heaven. You get into the kingdom and then that takes you to heaven. You know, and so many times when you say the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, people always think of when we get to heaven, then we'll have, you know, then the kingdom will come. No, the kingdom is to be on earth first. Say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Everybody shout it. I'll say on earth. As it is in heaven. In other words, I'm supposed to duplicate the conditions of heaven on earth. That is an amazing statement. If you don't have understanding, it will not hit you. We're actually supposed, Pastor G, Mommy, we're supposed to duplicate. We're supposed to replicate what is happening in heaven now on earth. So people don't have to wait to go to heaven to see what heaven is like. They can see it here. Isn't that amazing? That's what God wants. He wants the kingdom of God to come, to be made manifest in the earth. Some weeks ago, God was encouraging me about our young people. This part is prophetic. You know, and you know, we all get worried, or rather get concerned about these young people, because like Mommy was praying earlier on about, you know, for the men, the spirit of the age, the spirit of Babylon that has, you know, infiltrated the entire church. And a lot of our young people are being dominated. Their thinking and their desires are being dominated by the things of the world. Even those who are born again and spirit-filled, they're struggling because there's so much. Let me say, I was sharing this with some pastors. You know, we need to understand that in the last 50 years, there has been an exponential increase in iniquity. Yes, you can see it. I am privileged, my wife and I, and Pastor Gregor, because we were born, well, my wife wasn't, but we'll put her in just, you know. We were born in the 50s. See, those of us who were born in the 50s, before I became a Christian, I saw it, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it. But I observed it. That every time you move, like every 5 or 10 years, the generation that is born, the way they think and behave is different from us. They have this sense of, I don't want to get off. You know, iniquity has been abounding. So what was acceptable? Pastor G, listen to this. What people could do in the 1950s, they wouldn't dare in the 40s. Especially after World War II. You know, there's this, you know, the generation of, you know, but even then it was still decent to a degree. Then we moved from the 50s to the 60s. That was when I was, you know, just a child. I still remember 1966, 65, I was 6 years old in 1965. I was 7 years old in 1966. My cousin, Adeodutola, he was born in England, and he, you know, his mommy brought him from England. We hadn't met him before because he was born in England. So he now came to our house, you know, and brought all this. We're only six, seven years old. That was when the Beatles were reigning. Pastor G, remember? You know, and the Rolling Stones. And there was a song. You know the name of the song? I Can't Get No Satisfaction. What a terrible thing to say. But we loved it. I can't get no. I was 7 years old. I sang it religiously. And I was making a confession that I would not get any satisfaction. It was number one, Mick Jagger. But you know what? Pastor G, I observed this. We moved from the 60s into the 70s. 70s were my, you know, early teens and my late teens. I noticed something. There was a shift. In the 60s, as crazy as they were, all the beat, in order to be acceptable, no recording studio will record if you don't have a tie. Remember the Beatles? They had ties. They would not accept you if you don't wear a suit. And look, you could not go in jeans. Not that there's anything wrong with jeans, but what I'm trying to say is that there was a certain level of respectability. Then we came to the 70s. All that went. Then things became looser. Things that were done in the dark started coming out into the open. Then the 80s. Then the 90s. Then 2000s. Between 2000 and 2010, I will never forget the day Pastor Wale and I went to a shop, Blue Water, wanted to go and buy jeans for Sister Nkechi. Say, Pastor, please, I want to buy jeans for her. I said, sure, let's go and buy. So we went inside the shop. It was Levi's. Said, we want to buy jeans. They said, yes. What one do you want? So we looked at the torn ones. The one that had hole here. They were more expensive than the normal one.
I said, Pastor Wale, the devil has come down.
No, Pastor G, think about it, darling. Nobody would have dreamt of that. Not even the when I was a teenager in the 70s, if you went to a party, you went in three-piece suits. We would wear waistcoats. You know, it was a thing of respectability and honor to dress well. There were even nightclubs. There was one in London, High Street, Kensington. All kinds of people used to visit the place. Even, you know, Prince Charles and, you know, all kinds of, you know. I used to go there occasionally, you know. And you can't go in with jeans. They will tell you, they'll say, you're not respectable for this place. Even if you wear, you know, you don't have to wear a tie, but you have to wear a shirt and a jacket and look, you know. Otherwise, in a certain place, you just couldn't enter. Now it's torn close. I was not a Christian, but I just kept noticing that every 5-10 years, the level of iniquity, I didn't know it as iniquity then, it just increased. It just increased. LSD, hemp, you know, things that were taboo. People started doing them, and after a while, I again accepted. Today, it's been legalized. Do you remember there was one reggae player, Peter, whatever his name was? He sang a song, "Legalize It." That time, it was not legalized, but he was making an appeal to the demons in heavenly places. I said that by the Spirit. Legal. There was a particular record. It was called "Legalize It." He was talking about hemp. And you know what happened? It's now legalized. Their prayers were heard. Not from God, of course. What am I saying? I'm saying that over the years, iniquity has taken an exponential increase. Not just an increase; it has been an exponential. In other words, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the greater the increase of iniquity, because Satan wants to stop what God is doing. But the good news is, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Give the Lord a clap offering. Not, watch this. It didn't just abound, it did much more. Everybody say much more. You know, there's exponential and there's exponential. For those of you who are mathematically minded, 10 to power 2 is 100. 10 to power 3 is 1,000. It's a great amplification. It's exponential. But if you come at 10 to power 3, and then I step in at 10 to power 15, you're getting it. It's much more. That's what's coming. That we call it a flood. The Spirit without measure. It's going to completely quench the iniquity. It's going to obliterate it. And God is going to take the Holy Spirit and put it on our... Joel says that after he comes to... He will first of all come to Zion. Then he will pour out, you know... He has given us formal rain moderately. Joel chapter 2 verse 23. Then he will then come and give us the former and the latter rain together, which is just a symbolic expression of the Spirit without measure. Then out of that, after that, you find that in verse 28, he says, I will now pour out my Spirit on all flesh. What God is going to do is he's out of the Spirit without measure that's come upon Zion, because it's first of all localized to Zion. He will now take some of that Spirit, then he will now pour it on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters, these ones that are wearing torn jeans now, they're changing. The Holy Ghost is going to bring them. The homosexuals, God is going to sweep them into the kingdom. They will get born again overnight. Their eyes will open. They will dream. The young men, the old men will dream dreams. The young men will see visions. And their whole mentality and their whole life will change. Glory be to God. Just like God did in the house of Cornelius. The Cornelius people didn't know God. They were Gentiles. They hadn't had any religious background. Cornelius was just a religious person who tried to do good and give to the poor. But he didn't know God. Then he sent Simon Peter to him. God didn't even let Peter finish the message. The Holy Ghost, this thing. The Holy Ghost fell on them. Not just Cornelius, his household and his friends and neighbors that came. Every single one of them got filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I got a word. This is a prophetic part of this. I didn't plan this. Do you understand? What happened in the house of Cornelius in that local place in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea in those days will be replicated 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000 times all over the earth. All over the earth. God will literally invade places, invade nightclubs. Holy Ghost. This is what is called kingdom. God dominating. So I was telling them, I said, don't worry about the young people. I said, worry, but you know, be concerned, but pray. Instead of worrying, just intercede. As we pray, and as you know, as you see Isaiah 59 says, you know, truth is fallen in the streets. Nobody's talking. Said, then he made himself, his own hand brought him his salvation. And that's exactly what happens when we pray in tongues. Let me explain to you. When you pray in the Spirit, it is Jesus praying, watch this, in you, through you, for you. I'm going to repeat it. When you pray in the Spirit, it is Jesus praying in you, through you, for you. You know why? It is the Holy Spirit who's giving you the utterance. But the Holy Spirit is not speaking for himself. He's saying what Jesus, what he's hearing Jesus say. And it is the intercessory ministry of Jesus that is being outworked legally through the earth. That's why it has to be through you. And then it is for you. So when we begin to pray in tongues and groanings and travail, all these children and all these people who are, you know, being dominated by this exponential increase in iniquity, we will now bring a greater exponential increase of righteousness. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000, and will completely overtake it and sweep them into the kingdom. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And if you look at the next verse, this is not part of my message, but the Holy Ghost wants me to say, you know, you find that they will now be transformed from young men and young women to become handmaidens and servants. It's not the same thing. Handmaidens and servants are committed people. This revelation and outpouring of the Spirit in verse 29 will transform them to become, or verse 28, will transform them to become servants and handmaidens in verse 29. And then the earth will be invaded. Now let's get back to what I'm talking about. What then is the key to these things that's going to give us access to the kingdom of God, to this dominion of God? That's what a key does. I've told you what the kingdom is. Now, what is a key? A key is something that opens a door. It gives you access. So the Lord Jesus, teaching about this in Matthew chapter 16, you know, he said, who do people say I am? Peter said, you're the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he says, upon this rock or this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not. Everybody shout not. Will not prevail against it. You see, when we look at in our contemporary environment, we see the gates of hell prevailing. See Christians dying, Christians being sick, all kinds of terrible things happen to Christians. But the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail. Then many of us even take a dishonest, say, well, okay, we prevail when we get to heaven. No, come on. That's being dishonest. They're supposed to prevail here. So it means we're doing something wrong. You know why? We don't have the keys. And many of us are not building on the rock. We're not building on revelation. And so we're not accessing the dominion of God, the kingdom, the total dominion of God over sin, over sickness, over poverty, over bad governance. Psalm 144, when the kingdom is in operation, the Bible said there will be no complaint in our streets. Our oxen will be strong to labor. There will be great agricultural increase, great industrial increase, great social harmony. No, can you believe a society can exist in which there are no complaints in our streets? That's what's coming. It is the precursor. It is what is going to come before the millennial kingdom to fulfill the scripture that they would taste of the powers of the age to come. You see, in the millennium, there's going to be complete peace because Satan is going to be locked up. But before the millennium, we are now going to lock Satan in the heavens. Through prayer and intercession, you'll be there. But our intercession will bring him to the earth. And so instead of operating in the heavenlies, it is us who will be operating in the heavenlies through our intercession. And therefore, we will be, watch this, enforcing the dominion of God upon the earth so that the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we will now be causing the powers of the age to come. It's in the millennium, but we're now bringing it to this age so that there will be no complaining in our streets. Strong to labor, no breaking in, no going out. Can you believe a situation where you have a country where there is nobody steals? No breaking in, no going out. Something has happened. The dominion of God, the kingdom of God has come to sit on that society, which is a spin off of what mommy said, that God said you should have dominion and subdue. Now, I've whet your appetite a little bit. What are these keys? I'm going to give you 7 of them. I had a revelation that the Lord gave me for myself personally about myself. At the time it was happening, I didn't fully understand what I was doing. I was being led by the Spirit of God, you know, unconsciously. But over the years, now I look back, I said, okay, that's what you're doing. God gave me a progressive set of 7 revelations that were necessary for us to move into perfection and into the glory of God. At the time I was doing it, I didn't really understand it. And it started in the late mid-1990s, about the time that we entered the third day. We actually entered the third day about 1995, 1996, because Jesus was born about 4 BC. Looking back now, I now see what God was doing. And they began to come one by one. I will be teaching in church and revelation will come. And I will get that one. Then another one will come and I will keep it. Another one will come. That's when we began to write our book, The Landmarks. I'm going to go through them progressively in a few minutes for us to get it. But before I do that, I want to define revelation knowledge. And then I want to tie it to this scripture. The Holy Spirit gave it to me this morning as I was praying. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not a lack of head knowledge. Many Christians know the Bible. They know that God wants us to be righteous, you know, not just right standing, but right doing. They know God wants us to be healed. They know God wants us to be delivered. They know God wants us to be prosperous. They know. But it's not head knowledge. It's not head knowledge that the gates of hell will not prevail against. The gates of hell are prevailing against head knowledge. Now I'm going to tell you another one that you probably have not heard. It is not just revelation knowledge. It has to be complete revelation knowledge. That's where we get the Greek word epignosis. It is when the Bible says, you know, the keys of the kingdom, you know, upon this rock I'll build my church. He's talking about epignosis. Incomplete knowledge will cause destruction. My people are destroyed for a lack of, watch this, complete revelation knowledge. Not just knowledge. Not just general knowledge. Not just even revelation knowledge. But revelation knowledge has to be complete. It is that complete knowledge that, like we're singing that David Ingalls song, I'm taking it back, that enables you, that when you now have it, and he said truth that, you know, that we know and act upon is what sets us free. He said the just shall live by faith and by revelation. And so I'm taking back everything by faith and patience. The song is full of revelation knowledge. Now, without understanding, let me just define revelation knowledge. It's something we've heard so many times, but it bears repetition. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit through your human spirit into your mind. It is not knowledge that comes through the five physical senses. That is why Jesus said flesh and blood. He's talking about touching, tasting, eating. You know, the seeing, smelling, the five physical senses. It doesn't come. All the knowledge we've had since we were born from our mother's womb, you know, through primary school, nursery school, you know, secondary school, university, is sense knowledge. You know, I went to school, I heard what my teacher said. I read a book through my eyes. You know, I took exams. You know, I practiced medicine, or I practiced engineering, or I practiced physics, or economics, or whatever it is. You know, law, whatever it is. It's all head knowledge. And there's nothing wrong with head knowledge. Don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with head knowledge, but I'll tell you what you must never do with head knowledge. Lean on it. It'll kill you. He said, he didn't say don't have understanding. He said, lean not on your own understanding. The thing you should lean on is revelation knowledge. That's the rock. If you lean on head knowledge, when Satan attacks, you will have no defense. And what is killing Christians today is head knowledge. They go and try and fight Satan with head knowledge. You know, people say things like, you know, the Bible says it is written. So I say, Satan, it is written. It's not enough just to say it is written. It's important to say it, but you have to say it with revelation. You just say it, it's just words. And Satan knows. I just got a fax. You know what I just got? The seven sons of Siva. They had the knowledge. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. They used the name. They had the knowledge. They had heard of what Paul was doing. We cast you out. The evil spirit said, he wore. In our language, you know, that means you. Of all people. How dare you? You know? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But when did you get revelation knowledge? The demons know who has revelation and who doesn't. That's why Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against those that have revelation of the gates of hell, because they know them. Watch this. They respect them, and watch this. They fear them. When we were praying earlier on, I think we were praying over the offering. Yeah, I think it was. You know, and I was praying for those who brought their tithes. And I said, we rebuke. And you, if you were listening, I laughed. You know what? I saw him run. That's why I laughed. I mean, I see that a lot of times. I didn't see a vision. But, you know, it's a perception of my heart. You know, I can see. When I rebuke you in Jesus' name. The Bible said, resist the devil and he will flee. Pick race. He's afraid. Because the people who know, they that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploit. You see, when they know you know you know, they become afraid of you. They begin to fear you. They will respect you, then they will fear you. And they run away from you. I remember old Smith Wigglesworth, great man of God, who was, you know, a mentor to my own pastors, Pastor and Pastor Porter and Ida Porter, his wife, he writes in his books. He said when he gets up every morning, to old Wigglesworth, when he got up every morning, they say, what's the secret of his ministry? He used to pray in tongues, for at least 1 or 2 hours every day. So I edify myself, then I go out and edify the people. That's how, he wasn't an educated fellow, but he knew the Holy Ghost and he knew the Bible. He said, anytime he wakes up in the morning, you know what the devil said? Oh no, he has woken up again. Trouble has started for us today. Can you imagine putting the devil, on the run? We are always on the defensive. Oh, look at what the devil has done in my life. Look at this. Why don't you turn the table around? And you now take the offensive and put him on the defensive. Hallelujah. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Flee. Do you know what the word flee means? Flee as in terror. You know what he sees? He sees an avalanche. He sees a flood of God's power and God's angels that he has no defense against. You know, what people don't understand is this. There is one person who knows God better than many Christians. His name is Satan. You know why? He's been with God for billions of years. He used to be an archangel. He knows what the angels can do. Because he was one of them. Michael. Gabriel. And the hosts of heaven. Satan knows his own troops are no match for those guys. Because he used to be one of them. Then you pray. And then you intercede. Then you pray in tongues. And you groan. And you travail. And you release the power of God. And then as you speak in tongues, you are speaking in tongues of men and of angels. And you now, drum up an army of 1 billion angels against Satan's 100,000. He knows the game is up. In chess, we call it checkmate. He knows. That's why he flees. We see most Christians, all these are just words. It's not real to them. By the grace and the mercy of God, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is there, is becoming more and more real to me. That's why I laugh. Better when I'm praying, I'll be laughing. People, why can you be laughing when I'm praying? I'm seeing what's going on. Guys, he's terrified. Oh, he just wakes up in the morning. The demon says, he's up again. He's going to give us a terrible day today. That's how it should be. You should be terrorizing the devil, not him doing terrorizing you. I didn't hear an amen from some soldier there. I don't want these weak-kneed Christians. I want a bunch of special forces. Spiritual commando troops. Spiritual Navy SEALs. Thank you. My wife watches all this thing with me, so she's getting into the vocabulary. You guys say, honey, what are you always watching this war film for? For spiritual warfare. Are you listening to me? Amen. Those guys, this kind of commando troops, they can go anywhere. They can be dropped behind enemy lines. They're well trained. They know how to move in camouflage. When they drive, when they're taking their planes, they jam your radar. You cannot detect them. Don't let me go there. There's story after story. They came to Nigeria recently and freed an American. When they enter, we didn't know. When they left, we didn't know. In our language, that means they came in, they took who they wanted to go out, and they went out, and I said, give God the glory. I'm telling you, trained to a fine level. They were the same guys who killed Osama bin Laden. They flew into Pakistan, the Pakistani Air Force, and they had no idea they had come in. They landed their helicopter on top of the house that Osama bin Laden was living in. went downstairs. They had located the room he was in. But you see, you don't, those kind of things, it's training. That's why you should come for Good Morning Jesus. God is training a set of commando troops who all God has to say, go to Afghanistan. Yes, sir. They're not afraid of anything. They don't break rank. Nothing thrusts them. You know why? They're perfecting the love of God. So no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper. Are you listening to me? They have on the whole, not part, the whole armor of God. So they are invincible to the enemy. And the wicked one toucheth them not. Ah! I don't know if anybody's on my side here. We're about to take that guy out. His name is Lucifer. And all his lieutenants, human and demonic. So they are so afraid. We were coming back yesterday from London. Minding our business. The plane wants to land in Lagos. We've been flying for years. Mommy say, ah. The light on the runway goes. The British Airways couldn't fly. They couldn't land in Lagos. Can you imagine? And that's why, you know, whoever's listening to this, there should be accountability. The government should look into this and do something about it. The lights on the runway were not available. I was looking at Lagos like this. The pilot had said, 2 minutes to landing. Flight crew, take your seats, prepare for landing. So I was expecting us to land. I just noticed. I should have landed because I was praying. So I know, where can he land? And he hasn't landed. Then started. I knew something was going on. So the pilot comes on. He said, sorry, we have to announce that there's a technical fault in Lagos. They were trying to be polite. Technical fault in Lagos, so we can't land. We're taking to Abuja. We slept in Abuja that night. They didn't bring us back on the next morning. We didn't get back. We didn't land back in Lagos until 4:30 in the afternoon. You know why? They told us to come at that we will leave at 12. When we got there at 12, you know, they were going. They fueled the plane. So I don't know who did it. Some guy in Abuja put too much fuel inside the plane. So the British Airways pilot said, you know, we are just as bewildered as you are. You know the English. he said, you know, they've just put it. So we have to now create a circling route. So that we circle maneuver, so we have to burn more fuel, so that, and then we have to dump the fuel before we can land in Lagos. And that's exactly what happened. They were dumping fuel, flying around Nigerian airspace, dumping fuel before they now landed. We didn't land in Lagos until 4:30 in the afternoon because somebody didn't put on the light at night. And somebody else overfueled. There will be accountability. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Am I talking to anybody? Are you listening to me? But all that is changing. Because the root of all of that is spiritual. See, the reason why England and America are the way they are. I had a friend, you know, William's dad, you know, that's my son-in-law. You know, he was telling me, he said, the difference between manufacturing in China, Russia, you know, and some of these other countries, and manufacturing in the US, and manufacturing in England and Canada and some of those other countries, is this. They don't compromise on standards. So there's, you can do it in all sorts of places. You can do it in 5 weeks and mass produce. Mm-mm. They will make sure everything will be checked and double checked. And that is why you hardly ever hear of their planes crashing. Not because they're better than the other people. They take extra time. The other people will make more money. They rush and do things. But most of the people, you know, Qatar and Emirates, they don't buy another plane. They buy Boeing or Airbus. Why don't they go and buy the other one from the other place? May God have mercy on us. Hallelujah. Let me rush and finish my message. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here, but I'm preaching me happy. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. We're talking about revelation knowledge. So it is revelation knowledge you have to build on. Then you can prevail against the gates of hell. You build on head knowledge or incomplete knowledge. You give Satan some leeway. And give him an inch, he will take a mile. That's what's destroying Christians. Hence the scripture, Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. My people, not the devil's people, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now I'm going to paraphrase that by revelation. By a lack of revelation knowledge and complete revelation knowledge. And that is why we see what we're seeing today. For years, I used to wonder, I said, oh, but God is good now. Why should this happen? It's lack of knowledge. And it's not just head knowledge. Most Christians have head knowledge, but don't have revelation knowledge. They don't have revelation knowledge. Or where they do, the revelation knowledge is scattered and is incomplete. It's like having pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, and there are pieces that are missing. So the picture you're seeing is not the complete picture. You're just seeing a picture in which some parts have been taken out. And when Satan knows that that's the kind of picture you're looking at, he will exploit the loopholes. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody. Are you listening to me? God is looking for special forces. Spiritual that have been trained. That have properly equipped. Those American troops that we're talking about. Those Navy SEALs and the Marines. They train them to a high level of precision. They are warriors that can go anywhere. Everybody was surprised the day they took out Bin Laden. They landed the helicopter on the house. In our language, that means, where does Bin Laden want to run to? One of the troops went in and he met Bin Laden and shot him dead. Then they carried him and cut from his flesh to make sure the DNA can be checked. So there can't be any story. Then they sent to the White House, Bin Laden sleeps with the fishes. I had to say that. That's from the Godfather. They buried him at sea. Bin Laden sleeps with the fishes. A bunch of guys that have been trained to him. And no casualty. He's God. Obama was wondering, he was president at that time. So they gave him all the security report. He was, he wasn't sure, because the intelligence was not 100%. He said, we really believe. So he slept overnight. That's how God talks to people. He said, okay, just leave it with me. So when he woke up in the morning, somebody just said, let him go. He said, Joe Biden was president that time, my vice president. It's a go. Hillary, it's a go. So they all now sat down in the security. They were watching the thing like this while it was live. People were, hey, what will happen? God is looking for spiritual Navy SEALs who can go into any enemy territory on the earth and take the devil out. Give yourselves a clap offering. Oh, glory to God. Now, I'm going to give you 7 areas of revelation. 7 is God's number for completion. I myself, I didn't know this. I knew it in the sense I had done it. But I didn't know that he led me like this. At the time, I was being led unconsciously. It's now I look back and say, it's complete. I'm going to run through them very quickly. We've explained what revelation knowledge is. It is, give me 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. Just one before I go into these 7 keys. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 6. I've taught on the keys of the kingdom over the years, but this is different from what you've heard. The same thing, you know, but it comes from a different angle. So for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our heart. The heart is mind, will, and emotions. To give the light of the knowledge, what? Of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the textbook Bible definition of revelation knowledge. It is knowledge. It is knowledge, but it does not come through the physical senses. It comes from the Holy Spirit through the human spirit, where God shines light or knowledge into the human mind via, watch this, it's part of the revelation we're going to be talking about in a minute, via an honest and a humble heart. The heart's inclination determines how much light passes through from the spirit to the mind. See, if you're stubborn, if you are proud, if you are rebellious, you shut the door. So that there is light, but it can darken. But I say, take heed that the light that is in thee be not darkness. You don't want to be born again Christians. All of us have light. We're born again. But up here, many of us have darkness because of the mind. The mind, the stubbornness, the pride. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. He says, his very attitude, Amplified Bible, quickly give it to me. His very attitude deafens him. It blinds him to it. A scorner. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 6. Quickly, put it on the screen, you know, from the Amplified Bible. He's seeking it. He fasts. He prays. He reads his Bible, but he can't get revelation. A scoffer seeks wisdom in vain for his very attitude. Someone said, attitude determines altitude. It's true. Attitude, he may not even have done anything. It's just the way his attitude is. You know, the Bible says, there are seven things that God hates. Six, yes, seven. The first one is a proud look. The man has not done anything. It's just the way he looks. His attitude. Such a person blocks revelation knowledge. You can fast, you can pray, you can do everything. He said, is not this the fast I've chosen? If you have a wrong attitude, you can fast until you disappear. The revelation will not come. Are you listening to me? It's so important. Your attitude is so important. And that's how God revealed these things to me. It started around 1995, 96. I began to teach. I used to go all over the country, you know, when television in Kaduna, you know, and I would go, people would invite me in different places. So over this repertoire of revelation knowledge began to be built up. It's now I look back. I say, okay. I said, these are the seven keys. If you have the seven keys, you'll be able to access the kingdom. If you don't have them, you will not be able to access the kingdom as you should. Because keys give access. It is, watch this, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. God has locked it. But he's giving keys to those who are worthy, who are deserving, who will do what he, have the right heart and do what he says. Then you have keys, then you can open it and then you can have access to it. Now, there are revelation knowledge in seven of them. Number one, and this is fundamental, a revelation of the life of God. Not head knowledge. Most people here, if I say, what's life? Oh, Zoe is the life that God has inside him. I know you know that. I know you. That's head knowledge. But is it revealed to you in your heart? Do you have a revelation of it? All the illustrations and everything that we've used over the years is to try and bring you to that place of revelation. But it's the only person that can give it to you is the Holy Spirit. You hear what I have said, then you have to go and pray, and then God will now show it to you. Number one, and this is fundamental, and that's why when we started our ministry in 1984, 85, 86, the first things I was teaching was life of God. If you get a scripture pastor at that time, it would seem as if the only thing in the Bible is life scriptures. We taught it and taught it and taught it and taught all my books, Practical Guide to Prayer, you know, the life of God, Zoe. We even made a record about it, you know, a song about it, Zoe. Oh, the life. That's why Dara named her first daughter Zoe. She remembered that song. So he said, Daddy, I want to name this child Zoe, the life of God. You know, life is revelation. Oh. Eternal life is not going to God in heaven forever. It includes that, but that's not what it is. And you have to have a revelation of it. Number two, You have to have a revelation of the mercy of God by the life of God. Each of these revelations depends on the one that is previous. It was God who revealed it to me, that mercy is what God gives to people from the outside, from the air, by eternal life. Then I now understood how God dealt with them in the Old Testament. You mind the Old Testament, you know, God would speak to them, but they were not born again. They were unregenerate men. How did God speak to them? Life. You come from the outside, and then it will impinge on their mind. Many times they'll have a vision or they'll have a dream, and God will speak to them. That was how revelation came in the Old Testament. It could not come from the Spirit because the Spirit was not born again. And you find this in Jude chapter 1 verse 21, where it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's how the Holy Ghost linked it with me. You see, if you're going with the letter, you will miss it. It's a Spirit. It was revealed to me by the Spirit, the connection between eternal life and mercy. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So eternal life gives a measure, rather, the mercy of God gives a measure of eternal life into the lives of men from the air, in the mind, in the will, in the emotions, in the physical body, in their circumstances. That is why, watch this, we sang it this morning, it is by the mercy of God you are not consumed. It's eternal life. Now, when I look back at my life, Olubi Johnson now, and I'm sure all of us have that experience, I remember so many times God delivered me. At that time, I wasn't a Christian. I didn't even know God. Now I know it was the mercy of God that was working on my behalf. Yeah, I remember when I used to come to UI from Lagos on the expressway. Even before the expressway was built. The expressway was built in 1978. We used to take that old Ijebu, you know, road. You know, sometimes the car would take me, you know, because my parents had cars. My uncle was governor, you know, up to 1975 when I was in prelim. So, you know, they used to, you know, use some of the cars to take me. But sometimes I wouldn't have that. I have to take public transport like everybody else. And I will remember when to be overtaken at terrible speeds. The roads, you know, they go round corners. There were so many times I would have died. And I remember I was supposed to be inside that car. I didn't know God. I didn't know how to pray, you know. But something in my heart would just say, hey. You know, the Yoruba people have a great, there's one good thing in our culture. There is a constant acknowledgement of God. Have you noticed something about the Yoruba people? Everything, you know, we constantly acknowledge God. And when you do it with the right heart, God responds by mercy unto eternal life. It happened to me. The number three is grace. Grace is also tied to eternal life. Psalm 30 verse 5, in his favor there is life. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, he says, there a woman, a man and a woman are heirs of the grace of life. You cannot understand grace if you don't understand life. Grace is not just the favor of God. It is the favor of God. But it's the favor of God that brings a measure of eternal life. And the next thing after that is humility. Because God gives grace to the humble. So the way where you, a revelation of humility is submit to the will of God when you don't feel like it. When God sees that right attitude, that determination to do the will of God, even though you don't feel like it, and you're honest about it, and you want to do it, God will release grace. A measure of eternal life to help you to do what God wants you to do. That's why we are saved by faith through grace, by grace through faith. So you're not saved by works. You're not saved by doing something or not doing something. Being good or being bad. You're saved by what you believe in your heart. When God sees the honesty of your heart and you believe in Jesus Christ, then he gives you eternal life that gets you born again. Excellent example. The thief on the cross. You know the thief on the cross? He was an armed robber. He had no chance to restitute. He had no chance to be good again. All he did on that cross was believe. Jesus said, you know, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. How did he get saved? By grace. That's why it's called amazing grace. It had nothing to do with his actions. It had everything to do with his heart. Am I talking to anybody here? Number five. Revelation of the fear of God. It was all sequential. When we started our website, we started our website in 2001. One of the first people to go on the web, you know, because it was still new then. You know, my first weekly rhema, first three, was fear of God 1, fear of God 2, fear of God 3. And you know, the Lord told me then, though I understand it better now, was that it is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God. And it was by revelation. I was teaching somewhere, I don't remember. Maybe in the north, I can't remember where it was. You know, it came by revelation. The fear of God is to, you know, submit to the will of God when you don't feel like it, which is humility, you know. Knowing the certainty of his judgment and chastening if you disobey. And the security of his mercy when you obey. That's what the fear of God is. And it comes out in form of obedience to instruction. See, if you don't obey instruction, you don't fear God. I don't care what you say with your mouth. The Bible says in Proverbs 15 verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction. All these revelation came to me over these years. It was sequential. Number six, revelation of integrity. The first message I preached on NTA Kaduna many years ago was this message, the integrity of God. Dr. Shegun Falakwe, my very good friend, who took the recorded version, because they had never allowed any Christian program on television in the north. In Kaduna, this was years and years ago. Up till today, up till tomorrow, we still meet people in the airport. You know, sometimes my wife and I are going, and I meet a guy, he's a northerner, he's from, he said, Pastor! I said, where do you know me? He said, church on the air. I used to watch you when I was a child. It happens all the time. We always have favor. This last time we were coming, as we got to the customs place, another, I say, it's Pastor, let him pass. So mommy said, what's your name? Said, Sarah Olubi Johnson. Madam. So they sat down, the managers of NTA sat down with Brother Shegun Falakwe to listen to the message, to make the decision whether they will put it on air or they will not put it on. These were Muslims. They were not even Christians. He said, Shegun Falakwe was giving me testimony. He said that when they heard the message of integrity, they said, this is what Nigeria needs. Please put it on the air. That's how God opened the door to the airwaves in the north. True story. What is integrity? It's by revelation. I didn't read it in a book. I didn't get it from a dictionary. You know, integrity is three things combined. Honesty, reliability, and consistency. I've never heard it before. It's revelation knowledge. The three, they must come together. You see, most people don't have integrity. Honesty means you will not lie. You will tell them the truth. But a person can be honest and he may not be reliable. A guy can say, I will give you the money tomorrow. He's not lying. He wants to give you the money, but he doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have the resources to bring the money. So the payment fails, not because of a lack of honesty, but because of a lack of reliability. And then not only is he honest and reliable, he is consistently honest and reliable. That's what makes integrity. And you cannot walk with God if you're not a person of integrity, because God is a God of integrity. I preached this message in 1983. In IVCU, the integrity of God's word. People, till tomorrow. One day I walked into a police station. One of our members was having an issue, you know. And, you know, I just went there to try and see what I could do. He called me, Pastor, come. I just walked in. The 2IC, that means second in command. The main guy was not around. So second in command, he was a guy. He was an Igbo chap, you know. Immediately I walked in. He said, Pastor Olubi. He said, I was in UI. Because although he's a police officer, he did law. Or some course, I can't remember. I think it was law, you know. He said, I was a student when you preached the integrity of God's word. Many years ago, I have never forgotten it. He said, that message, he said, what I'm talking about, it was about, you know, 10, 15 years ago. So you can imagine the amount of time it must have been, and 20 years after I preached the message. The guy said, till tomorrow we are still friends. He rose up to become an AIG before he was retired. You know, they even brought him to Oshogbo, you know, sometime because of the SPU, you know. So when I got, I said, Olupi is my, no problem. He said, Pastor, I can never forget that message. Then I said, Pastor, what is it? What do you need? I said, they have one of my people. They're going to release the woman. True story. Favor will go with you. Integrity. If there's something that Christians need today, it's integrity. That was what made God single out Abimelech. Integrity of heart. See, you may not be the most powerful person in the world. You may not be the wise person. But if you have integrity, we know that when you say something, it is so. And then you are reliable. I always tell people, you are not God. The person that has greatest integrity is God. God is always honest, always reliable, and is consistently so. Because he is God. Now, you are not God. You become more and more like God. So you may lack some amount of resources to be reliable. You may lack some amount of resources, you know, to be consistent. That's why you have to develop the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. Patience and consistency really mean the same thing. But you know what integrity does? If I tell you, Pastor Andrew, or Mommy, I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock. Then it's 3. I'm still in Lagos. That's the difference. A person of integrity, because he wants to be reliable, we call and say, I am on the expressway. I don't think I'm going to be able to make that 4. What arrangements can we make to deal with the situation? That's what's called integrity. I'm going to take it a step further by the Holy Ghost. This same illustration about 4 o'clock. A person of integrity who knows he's given somebody his word. If you don't have respect for your word, you cannot have respect for God's word. I know I have told somebody that I'm going to be in Ibadan for 4 o'clock. And then it's 12, 1, 2, and I'm still running around for one other thing in Lagos and all that. I don't have integrity. A man of integrity will say, no, I gave my word. So every other thing is on hold until I can go to Lagos so that I can get to Ibadan on time to meet the person. So I don't leave Ibadan at 3 o'clock and then start phoning and say, it's a lack of integrity. The person of integrity will rearrange their schedule so he leaves Ibadan before 12. Or Lagos before 12. So he knows he will be in Lagos to make 4 o'clock. Most of us don't think like that. And that's why God can't trust you. That's why you can't watch this. You can't access the kingdom. It's one of the revelations. The last one is the revelation of diligence. The Holy Ghost taught me. I didn't read in a book. You know what diligence is? It's applying constant, concentrated, and well-directed effort. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that, wisdom is profitable to direct. It says, if the axe is dull, you have to sharpen it so that it... You see, a lot of people apply effort, but they're applying effort in the wrong direction. But observe, all of these keys depend on one another. You have to start with the life of God. Then mercy, then grace, then humility. The more humility, the more grace. Then the fear of God. Then integrity, honesty, reliability, and consistency. Then diligence. If you have these seven keys by revelation and you act upon them, where if it is prosperity you want, you will get the key for prosperity. If it is healing you want, you will get the key for healing. If whatever you need the dominion of God for, you will have access to the power of God to enforce that dominion. Stand to your feet. I really like it. No, you know, preach me happy. Because it's the truth. Seven keys to the kingdom. Revelation knowledge in these seven areas. Revelation of the life of God. Revelation of the mercy of God. Revelation of the grace of God. Revelation of the humility of God. Revelation of the fear of God. Revelation of the integrity. And revelation of diligence. Anything you want in the kingdom depends on these seven keys. And it's complete. I speak by authority. You see, when I speak like this, people say, oh, my mama talon jari, chemo, uri ebi uri kini, you know, how can anybody say, you know, it's gone? I'm giving you revelation like Paul. I yet not I, but the grace of God which is me. What I tell you, words of truth and soberness, go and check it out. These seven keys, if you don't use them, you can't access the kingdom. Exactly. And the more you access it, the more the Lord gives you. You know what's killing Christians? A lack of integrity, lack of honesty, a lack of the fear of God, a lack of consistency. What did David Ingo sing? He said, I'm taking it back by faith and patience. Consistency. If you want, the number one problem of majority of Christians, a lack of consistency. Inconsistency in prayer, inconsistency in Bible study, inconsistency in walking in the Spirit. Once you have revelation and you have integrity and you have consistency, whatever it is, you will have access. You will open the door. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. In your presence, we are content.
We are content.
Hallelujah.
In your presence,
we are content.
We are content.
In your presence, there is light.
There is light.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations of your power and might.
In your presence we now bring
lots of
offering. We're in the presence of our King. In your presence, sing it from a heart of love.
In your presence,
we are content.
We are content.
In your presence,
in your presence,
we are content.
We are content. In your presence, there is light.
In your presence, there is light.
Hallelujah.
There is light.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations
of your power and might.
In your presence,
in your presence, we now bring
a love
song offering. We're in the presence of our King.
In your presence,
in your presence, there is love.
There is life.
Expressions of your love. Revelations of your power and might.
In your presence,
in
your presence,
we now bring
a love song offering.
We're in
the
put one hand on your head. Your forehead represents your mind. That's where revelation comes. It comes through the heart, through the will, but it is incident on the mind. For God, who commanded the light to shine, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the life of God, knowledge of the mercy of God, knowledge of the grace of God, knowledge of the fear of God, knowledge of humility, knowledge of integrity, knowledge of consistency. You need it. Raise that hand. Put the other one on the forehead. The forehead is the focus. You need it. Many of us already have revelation only in some of these areas, but some of us don't have revelation in all of these areas. I just got a fax from heaven. Some of us have had revelation and have lost it because of wrong attitude, like John the Baptist. John the Baptist had revelation, but he lost it because of a wrong attitude. He became offended. Offense will close the door to light and cause a retraction of the revelation that had previously been given. Raise that hand. Don't get into offense. Don't get into pride. Don't get into rebellion. Don't close the door to revelation. That is the access to the kingdom, so that you will prevail against the gates of hell. Without the revelation, the gates of hell can prevail. God forbid they will not prevail against you. But they can if you don't have access to these keys. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, reminded me of these seven keys of revelation knowledge that will give me access to the kingdom, to the dominion, to your dominion in my life, in my soul, my will, my mind, my emotions, in my body, in my circumstances, my finances. So that your kingdom, your dominion will be made manifest in my life here on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, I humble myself. I understand it all begins with your mercy. A revelation of your life through honesty of heart. Lord, now I renounce, and I'll continue to do so on a daily basis, the hidden things of dishonesty. I will not walk in craftiness. I will not handle the word of God deceitfully, so that I can continue to receive light, revelation of the life of God, revelation of the mercy of God, revelation of the grace of God, revelation of the humility of God. Lord, you are the most humble person in the universe. Even though you are the most powerful and you're the wisest, I want to be like you. Have great wisdom, have great power, and yet have great humility. Revelation of the fear of God. Revelation of integrity of heart, honesty, reliability, and consistency. Revelation of diligence, consistent, concentrated, and well-directed effort. Oh God! Oh God, have mercy on me. Give me access to these seven keys so I can then use them in any area I need your dominion. Dominion over sin, dominion over sickness, dominion over poverty, dominion over circumstances. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Nikatolo moshele prekefri. Rematoske fridikatolo. Mercy, Father, sekela matolo motofredeka. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, for your blood, for your life, for your power, in my soul, in my soul, in my body. Labridesco frinesc. Dobrili yashekahrask. Ronoso fridias. Lombridilesk to frenengarsk. In my circumstances. Ranaptus to frinesk. Lingerdoloske frede. Ramatusco fridingetusco frenelas. Ranaseles. Robordofre. Gilikito frenengetusco frinesk. Ra. In my regional heavenlies. Reoshe. Rata. Nekatolomoros. Nekatolomatusco fre. Lombridiles. No fredeles, noske fredes, no fredisk, no kosh, neo, tufrene, lo prediko, tufrene, zangara. In Jesus' name. If you're watching or you're here and you need healing for your body, like I shared during the Bible study and after the Bible study, he sent his word. God told me that some months ago. Every time the word goes out, anointed word, healing power is available. And just like the woman with the issue of blood and the paralytic man, all you just need to do is receive. They didn't know confession. They didn't know all of these things that we know. All she did was just believe. So just stretch forth your hand. You're watching television at home, or you're watching this on your computer or whatever. If you need healing, just say, Father, I, from the anointing that is on your word, not Olubi Johnson, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from the instructions. I receive my healing from the anointing on your word. I receive my deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you a testimony. It happened just now. After the Bible study, I was feeling very tired. We got back yesterday, was, you know, went to bed late, got up, because of this disruption I told you, you know, with England, and then we came to Nigeria. So I had 3 days where I've not really slept for more than a few hours, and still get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray, you know. And my belly was hurting me a little bit, you know. In fact, I was thinking of maybe I should go to my office and just lie down for a little while and then not be here for the praise and worship, and then, you know, come back, you know, and for the message. God did something that was wonderful. And choir, keep doing what you're doing. And that's why the songs we sing are very important. Don't just sing any song. See, the songs we sang today, He is Jehovah, unchangeable Lord. This is what happened. The minute we began to sing those songs, an anointing just came out. All the things just went. Give glory to God. The tiredness, the pain, it... Ah, I said, yes, God inhabits the praise of His people. And then the last song we finished with, you know, I'm taking it back. And the other song, you know, by the time the ministration was over, everything had gone. You will be healed in Jesus' name. Correction, you are healed in Jesus' name. Ah, thank you. My wife always sets me straight. That's why she's a helper. She said, always remember to thank the people. So I want to thank all of you. While we were away for quite a long time, we hadn't been in England because of the COVID, you know, for over 1 year. By the time we got there, the amount of mail was like this, you know, and there were all kinds of, you know, there's so many things you have to, so we had to stay back and get a lot of, you know, things. We got our vaccination. Yeah. Both 2 shots, you know, we got them in England, you know, my wife and I, so we're fully vaccinated. But that doesn't mean you should be careless, you know. You know, it's all because I hear some pastors say people shouldn't take your vaccination. Take it and pray over it. My faith is not in the vaccination, it's in God who will protect me. But that same God will not protect me if I know to take vaccination. I don't. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it need, to him it is sin, and the sin will block your faith. Gosh, my God. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I said? So we want to thank you all. Thank you so much for everything, you know. For being faithful, cooperating with Pastor Boyega, you know, and all the Pastor Dioye, Pastor Kunle, all the pastors, you know, Pastor Tuji, you know, Pastor Prof, Pastor William, Pastor Rhoda, Pastor Toy, all of you. We appreciate all of you, Pastor Clement, everybody, Pastor Professor Kola, and all their wives, Pastor Professor Bose.
And the children's church. Let me say the rest. Thank you so, so much. Thank you, everyone. nobody. You don't know how much it was a blessing for us to know that we can really be out and you can be standing on your watch, non-breaking rank, non-thrusting one another. When we are looking at you all the time, we see everybody seated in their place. That's Sister Rhoda. Pastor Rhoda is there. Pastor Kule, Pastor Kleb, his wife. Where's his wife? That's his wife. Oh, she wore buba today. Ah, that's she wore a lovely dress today. Very good. And we will all see you. Ah, Chalakwenko, black, the wall. Already, yeah. Unjobe, yeah. Praise God. And of course, the choir. We cannot but thank you so much. You are just awesome. And the instrumentalists, you were just on point. On point. Children's church, wherever you are, you're on point. And then the most amazing was just a little text that you said, we are missing you, oh. Even from the most unlikely people, we are missing brother Leroy, thank you, we are missing you. I said, oh, love you, sir. Badebo, we are missing you. I said, Money, it's time to come home. It's time to go home. Thank you so much, everyone. We love you very much, and we thank God for you. And may the Lord continue to bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
I want to see all the pastors and their wives in my office after the service. Don't worry. All is well. All is well. Don't be afraid.
We greeted the pastors' wives. Ejosai Mabinu. The husbands of the pastors. Ejosai Mabinu, sir. Mabinu, sir. Ejosai Mabinu, sir. I just said, my binu, I'm Pastor Adebumi, at the Pastor Korea, just sir, at the Pastor Professor Dosum, I just said, my binu, I should be mistaken. I just said, my binu, I couldn't know.
I want to crack a joke. Honorable, we arrange for you. Yo, politicians are very powerful. So, I just said, I'm a better honorable. We love you all. Let's share the grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. Yes, you will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So, Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name. We say you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life of God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. In the name of Jesus. And we I didn't get that. Okay, yes, I just remembered. And no broken bones in Jesus' name. Amen. We're living in great times. And we also remember all our children are going to be taking their JAMB exam coming up. When is it? This week. Okay, all those are doing JAMB, God will go with you. Amen. And you'll be at least 10 times better than your peers. He'll give you wisdom and put you into remembrance of what you have studied. The spirit of infirmity will not afflict you. You will have power, love, and soundness of mind. You'll remember, you will not be confused in the exam. You won't have headache. You won't have stomach ache. You won't go to the toilet. Everything will work smoothly. You will answer the questions accurately. You will have favor with the examiners. And you will excel and be found at least 10 times better than your peers. Top in Nigeria, top in the world. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brother. Remember, social distancing.